July here in Pecola.
Nice. Now, is that fly for a white guy or
fly by any standard?
Oh, good. Racist. Well, that's good. I'm just, you know, there's.
Hey, we don't differentiate between species, okay?
Not the best
thing, okay? Everyone just admits that RuPauls are the best, and we go on from there.
We can all agree that RuPauls are rupees.
I feel like that's a derogatory term.
RuPauls.
Yeah, they are the little creatures you find when you break pots open.
Yeah.
Or try to buy anything in India.
Mm. Yeah, you can sell one of these little guys and, you know, get corn and goods and stuff in India.
Okay, so RuPauls are basically gnomes with tails. That's what I'm gathering. What other distinctions do they have, right? Like, what are those?
RuPaul was the word.
That's basically it?
Quicksilver could tell you better, but okay. From what I get, yeah, they have tufted hair, tufted little puffs on their tails, and most of them are very mechanically or scientifically minded. If you've played Guild Wars or Guild Wars 2, they are much like the little guys that Abe loves to play, like almost every one of his characters is one of these. Thank you, Asura.
They sound like gremlins.
Think sophisticated, highly intelligent, arrogant gremlins, then yes.
Yeah, there you go. Is this everyone? Who are we still waiting on?
I think it is, actually.
Well, thanks, goblins. I always saw them as, you know, mechanically minded, but a little more dumb. Lacking in wisdom modifiers.
Less that restricted. Hey, what does this do? Oh, there's a hole this village used to be now.
I'm all about that low-listing official one.
Button tester. but I just started work last week. Isn't there one already? No, we go through one each week. Come.
So basically like Gru's minions, essentially.
Mm. Oh, okay. No, actually, probably not much more intelligence than that. So, yeah.
There you go. Everybody's copying everyone else.
Nothing new under the sun.
Okay. Is this everyone?
Well, you just take the Final Fantasy philosophy, and as long as you give it a new coat of paint, it's a different creature.
True. I think this is everybody. Are we ready?
I think so.
Okay. Essentially, it's pretty difficult to understand what you guys are saying because of atmospherics. So I'm still okay with trying to at least get some stuff done and give you guys a chance to play. I think there were some conversations some of you still wanted to have, that sort of thing. So we can definitely do that. Just be aware that given the situation, accents are probably going to interfere with my ability to understand, and I may be asking you to repeat yourself 47 times. And then I may finally ask you to write it in the chat.
Fair enough.
All right, so no accents. That's what I'm gathering. No accents.
I mean, feel free to use the accents if you want, but if I can't understand it, I'm going to ask you, what did you say? What did you say? What did you say? And
yeah.
Pre-record a sound bite and just hit a button.
Okay.
Ready.
All right, so are we ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Alright, the last we left off, we're picking up right where we left off, so Nicholas Leaf, your new companion on the road, the merchant has on your way to Nutgirl, the capital city of Korthalia. Some of you intent on seeking out information on dragons. Others just intent on seeking the next town on the road and what you might gain, what you might do, that sort of thing, and looking for what life has for you next. All of this brought you to a mountain town set in the foothills of the Pelagus Mountains called Trunau. And you came into Trunau, you realized very quickly that something was going on, that there was a bit of a festivity that was in the air. And while you set up your stage and made sure that your miniature horses and cart were all set off to the side where they needed to be and prepared for the show that night, you got your lodgings in the Ramble House there close to the main gate of Trunau. You also, some of you went over to the church, to the local Church of Light. It's not quite a temple or cathedral, but you went to the church there and you spoke to some of the brothers and the Father Gray, who was young for his office, but seemed like he was a wise man, perhaps wise beyond his years, and tried to give you a little bit of insight into Trunau and what you could expect there. You learned about a place called the Plague House, the old church, a much nicer building, until it got burned down. And hearing about that, a couple of you set out to go and take in the ruins of the old church, find out what you might find there. In doing so, Bark found a small piece of crude jewelry, looked like a kind of a bent straight pin or a bent nail, only the head of it was an ornamental orc skull or some kind of a strange savage skull of that type. So an odd thing, but you found it in the ruin of an old burned out church. So you made it back into town in time for everybody to start heading towards the common grounds up in the top. And as you headed there, you found that that's where the ceremony of the Hope Knife was taking place. And young Ruby, the 12-year-old girl, daughter of the chief defender of Trunau, was coming of age, and she received her Hope Knife in great pomp and ceremony. And although the ceremony was a little bit uncomfortable, perhaps, to some to listen to or to stomach, it belies the past of Trunau and where this town has come from. They had a dark beginning, and it was a dangerous place in the early years of Korthalia before the lands were really secured. And unfortunately, the people had to be prepared to meet death at any time and perhaps to give it in a merciful way to those who would find no mercy at the hands of an orc. After the ceremony of the Hope Knife was over and Ruby had her Hope Knife, you then were introduced to a new fellow. A very jovial and likable sort stepped up, Roderick Graff, and challenged Ruby to a tug of war since she had come of age, and giving her the opportunity to choose her ally in this game. She chose Barks, and that proceeded to be a rather one-sided tug-of-war match. Afterward, you got to speak with Roderick and his brother, Kirst. Both of them nice enough fellows, both of them captains of the watch, the sons of Jagrin Graff, who is their father, and he is the leader of the watch currently, although he is somewhat aged and found out just through talking to people that it's pretty well expected that Roderick is going to follow in his father's footsteps and take the position soon. You went back after some time. Oh, Roderick did offer Barks a position if Barks was interested in talking to him about joining the City Watch, but Barks did not seem interested at the moment. So you all went back and you did your performances in varying ways, some more scary than others, But as you performed barks, you noticed that Roderick came down, seemed to be making his way around and enjoying the festivities. He watched a bit of your show and then went into the Ramble House. When you went in, you found out Cham Laringbass, the very confident owner and proprietor of this place, you found out from her that, well, Roderick Grath would be staying the night at the Ramble House, so you'll be quite safe here with such a one as Roderick staying under the same roof. You also learned that he is apparently a bit of an artist, doing a lot of writing, some poetry, apparently some of his works have even caught the eye of people up in the big cities, up in Nethys Gyrel. So perhaps he's a star in the making. But that is pretty well where we left it. I think Barks and Min were both sitting down with ginger beer and contemplating what to do next. The rest of you are still outside, so we will drop right in at that place. The front room is full of people. There are farmers, there are merchants, there are miners, there are people of all walks of life that are gathered here. They're drinking, they're talking, they're laughing, they're sharing stories of their Hope Knife ceremonies. They're talking about their expectations and risks on the road and the recent goblin attacks that have seemed to be swelling in number as of late. Talking about those blasted kids and that graffiti that's all over town, all those white swords. Talking about strange groups of traveling half-orcs and odd-looking kind of dark men moving through the area. Looks like setting up mining camps in the nearby hills or somewhere around town. Just all sorts of talk, the kind of talk that you find in a place like this. It's noisy. It's bright. It's not a dark front room, but you are in kind of a side table, so you have a little bit of privacy. What do you say?
Elman Drada will actually turn to Barkus and say, "Do you think? What are your thoughts on Roderick? Should we possibly talk to him?"
He seems the sort to be minding his own business, certainly doing his job. His poetry and artistry are his own concern, but perhaps he would know a little bit more about the sort of... I get kind of a bad sense about this town. Like, there's clearly something else going on here. Can't quite put a finger on it. Not very perceptive in that way. But I think you know what I mean. Talking with him probably wouldn't be a bad idea, although, if I'm honest, I'm not quite sure what I would ask him.
Well, let's just start off by asking about his poetry. Something that he would love, something that might open him up. And then ask about the art that he's seen around the town. Specifically the graffiti. Perhaps being one of the members of the guard, he might know a little bit more about it, what it might signify.
Why don't we both go up? I can strike up conversation over our shared experience, and you can lead with the questions. You seem a little better at forming those anyway. I'll follow your lead in that way.
Okay. We can try. All right. And will
head
we go back to... Yeah,
find
so first we need to find out where he's staying, correct?
He headed up the stairs last we saw him, I believe.
Is it an inn? I think there are multiple rooms upstairs.
Good point. We should talk to Cham.
Okay. We head back to the owner of the establishment and ask her about Roderick and see if we can talk with him, possibly ask about some of his art. We heard that it's rather well known, especially in the big city, and we might perhaps just like to get some souvenirs from some locals.
Just a real quick recap, because I literally lost like every other word that you were saying. It seemed like it was popping in and out. But you asked Cham about Roderick?
Yes. Where is he? Where is he staying so we can possibly talk to him about his poetry and art?
Oh, well, I'm terribly sorry about that. I think Roderick's already retired for the night to his room. If you want to talk to him, I could might be able to catch him in the morning before he goes. You know, and she kind of gives like a sideways glance. She's like, you know how artists can be. They're taking time off for themselves. But I'm sure he'd speak to you.
Well, I appreciate it. Which room should we go visit in the morning? We want to make sure that we can get there as early as possible so we don't miss him.
You asked what room is he in?
Yes, so we can visit him as early as possible so we don't miss him.
Let's see. In this case, do a bluff check.
Cool.
Well, let me ask you about your intentions. Okay, let me ask you your intentions. If your intentions are to get the room number so that you can go and check it out, then it's a bluff check. If your intentions are to literally get the room so that in the morning you know kind of, you know, what hall to watch and just talk to him in the morning, then it would just be diplomacy.
It's both. So it would, for now, it would be a bluff since I do intend to see if I can check out the room as well.
Barkus will not be rolling. His charisma is abysmal.
This one is definitely for Min to roll since Min asked.
A total of 24 for bluff.
Could you write it in the chat for me? She kind of, steps back a little bit from the bar and takes the rag that's kind of tucked into her apron string and dries her hands, and she gives Min a little bit of kind of a long look, and she's like, oh, I get it, sweetie. All right, listen, I'll do you a favor. But you have to understand, Roderick is already spoken for. But I'll give you his room. I didn't give it to you. Understand? I didn't give it to you. All right? You just happened upon it. And she kind of looks and she's like, the things I do for young love. And she goes and she pulls out a scrap of paper and she scribbles down his room number on it. And he is staying in room 7. But she does, as she passes it to you, she's like, she gives you a serious look. She's like, I don't want your heart broken. All right. But you have to understand. Just be careful. Be careful. Go on. I've got work to do.
And then giggles a little bit, and says, I will be careful, and thank you. And she goes up the steps to see if she can find which side room 7 happens to be on.
I'm sorry, I missed a lot of that. So you go to his room, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so it doesn't take. Okay, so it does not take long to find room 7. It is upstairs. So as you come out of the front room, there's just a short flight of steps that goes up. You can tell that because of the way the Ramble House was set a little bit back into the natural rising steps that the town is built on, that the steps go up. There's not necessarily any rooms underneath. So you're still on the first floor in that sense. But as you enter, you go down this hallway, and there are various rooms, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way back towards the end of the hall. There's number 7. And you do notice that just around the corner, there is a flight of stairs that seems to go up to a next floor. So it's bigger than it looks. But you do find room number 7.
Men will knock on the door and say, Roderick, are you awake? Are you there?
You knocked on the door, and what did you say?
Roderick, are you awake? Are you there?
There's no response.
She tries rapping a second time.
She tries what?
She knocks a little louder this time.
There is no response in the room.
I will roll perception.
All right, as you take a moment, you press your ear against the door, you listen for the sound. But you don't hear anything inside. It sounds quiet. And in fact, there is no there's no glow of lamplight from inside either.
Is there a keyhole to the door?
There is a key slot in the door. You take a look through the key slot. Min, go ahead and do a perception check.
Okay.
And does Min have low light vision or dark vision? Yeah, actually, it would be dark vision. Do you have dark vision?
I do not. I am human.
Yeah, it's dark. It is dark. Whatever light was in there, which ordinarily, of course, you haven't been in your room yet, but whatever candle stand or what might have been in the room for light, seems to have been put out at this point.
Can I cast dancing lights through the keyhole?
Barkus has low light vision and a high perception score. Can he poke his eye? Can he look through the keyhole there? Can he roll another perception check real quick?
What is Bark's going to do?
Bark has low light vision. Can he look through the keyhole?
Okay. So do you take a look through the keyhole?
Yes.
You look. It is very dark. Go ahead and do a perception check. Alright, so I'm giving you a -4 on that because it is dark and you have low light vision, but you are still able to make out what you think. You can see where the bed is at, and it looks like Roderick has already put himself to sleep. You can see him, he's You can't make out any details, but you can see the general shape of his body as he's laying there, one foot kind of on the bed just a little bit, and his arms just kind of like up, kind of maybe under his head or something like that.
Well, he's clearly in there and out pretty well asleep. Unless he's really, really talented at building stand-in mannequins, we won't be talking with him till the morning.
That's unfortunate. Would it be possible for me to cast Dancing Lights through the keyhole?
Rude.
You
want to cast Dancing Lights in his room?
Yes. Just not something super bright, but just like low, almost like low mood lighting.
With like a red filter on it so it doesn't hurt your eyes in the dark.
Exactly. Is that possible?
Let's see. Dancing light creates the amount of light that a torch would make. I don't know that you can limit it in that sense.
Okay, then would it be possible for me to cast just normal dancing lights inside? Just enough for light?
I'm sorry.
Could I what cast dancing lights without the filter?
I missed that, I'm sorry.
Would I be able to cast dancing lights without the filter? Just a normal dancing lights inside the room?
Go ahead and write it in the chat box, please. Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Did you write it in the chat box?
I did. It might take a little while to get over.
Okay. I'm waiting for it to come up, is all. Okay. So I will answer that when I get to see it. Meanwhile, we'll hop back outside real quick.
Okay.
Those of you that were out at the show, the show finalized on a great note. The crowd loved hearing Ruka, and Alexander's accompaniment was exceptional. You did a great job, and as you are showered with praise and adoration and also some money, you have made about your show in total. You made about two.
Well, man.
2 gold?
We made about as much as kicked out of town.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we can grab a hot dog on the way out.
Yeah, it seems about right.
Night Glider, can you still hear us?
Okay. There he is.
Welcome back. Hold on. I don't know how much you guys heard or not before I got kicked.
We made about as much as, and then you got kicked.
We made two,
yeah.
And that's what we
heard. Okay, yeah, you made two coppers.
No,
you made 220 silver.
Woo!
Nice.
So,
not bad for a good night's work.
That is a total amount of money that was dropped in your tip hat at the end of the show. And during the performance, as people would have to go, they would drop some coin in. So 220 silver for the party.
Randy takes a look at this and says, we got to get some representation.
And tomorrow night is the pony show.
Awesome.
And people seem very excited about that. Well, we'll be back. Pony show. Wait until I tell the other guys. This is going to be great. And even as the show is finishing up, Ruka, you notice Cham has, she's kind of in the door and she's looking out there for you. She's like, hi, you're going to come inside and sing? Come on, little bird. But she's got a smile.
Once we finish cleaning up, I'll be in.
Sham is, she's not a, she is a, let's see, well,
she's not patient. Again.
Yes. She is a very confident halfling woman who is accustomed to running her own establishment. And standing up for herself because she doesn't really have anybody around that does that for her. She's a pretty halfling. She's got kind of auburn hair that is tied back in a bun and a braid that kind of drops out of the bun, just kind of falls to the middle of her back. So it looks like if she wasn't always working, she probably could get dolled up pretty good. But she's pretty much dressed in work attire, and she seems very much focused on her work. She's dressed in a dirty apron. She's got a short-sleeved dress on with kind of puffed shoulders, and she does have one silver necklace on that seems to be a locket of some sort that she wears. But the locket she generally keeps just kind of tucked down into her blouse, but you can see the silver chain, and a couple of times it'll pull out of her blouse, but she'll tuck it back in, kind of keep it out of the way. Other than that, she wears a smattering of jewelry and seems like a nice enough girl with brown eyes and probably maybe a little bit shorter than the average halfling, but not by much. And she knows how to make herself heard. So that is Cham.
Nice. Okay.
Okay. Who hiccuped?
There he is.
All right. So this is going to be fun if this keeps happening. Anyway, you finish up the show, and she calls Ruka in. So did Ruka head on inside?
She called back that I'll be in once we're finished cleaning up out here. She doesn't want to leave the rest of the troop behind.
I missed most of what you said. Hello?
We're still typing here. It out.
You might just be able to copy and paste it since from your last one.
Well, I added some.
While we're waiting, did you see my message about casting the dancing lights through the keyhole? Just normal dancing lights.
Yes. Okay, so I see your message, and yes, you could cast dancing lights in his room without a filter.
Excellent. Right. I'd like to do that when it gets back around to me.
Before you do, I want you to do a wisdom check.
Okay.
Are you sure you want to do this?
Yeah.
I mean, you could either do a wisdom check, or you could do intelligence local.
I'll do intelligence local.
Do you mean knowledge local? I don't think that would be intelligence local.
That would be a fail in either case, as I rolled a natural one.
What did you get on your roll?
A natural one.
A natural one?
Yes.
This seems like a very good idea. In fact, you know, you're not really from Corthalia. You're from down in the southern reaches, and as a nomad, this is probably what Corthalians do. You know, he'll probably laugh. It'll be great. He'll laugh. Barks will laugh. You'll laugh. You'll all laugh, and you'll have a great time because obviously you should turn the lights on when somebody is sleeping. So yeah, go for it.
Can I make it look like a vaguely humanoid shape?
I don't think casting lights looks can like do a ghost. That.
Yes. So I would like to do that.
You could potentially arrange the balls of light in such a way that it looks like a person, I suppose.
I believe the spell states I can make a vaguely humanoid shape.
Ah, well, in that case.
Welcome back.
Okay, I'm back for the moment.
I would like to make a vaguely humanoid glowing shape inside his room.
Do me a favor and go ahead and just write it in the chat, because at this point I can barely understand you guys. We are incidentally going to end sooner than later, just because this is not... I can't even understand you guys. So we will finish out the scene and try to bring it to a good place, but we're not going to be able to go for the full time tonight because I can't even understand you. So please do write out your comments in the chat. Okay, do you have a silent image or anything like that that you can use with it?
It's part of the dancing light spell, and I put it in the chat.
If there's someone you can hear better than other people, maybe they could do a scene with their character.
Okay, if you can change the shape of the lights, then yeah, you can make a glowing human form in his room. Okay, so you cast dancing lights, and suddenly light blooms from under the door. Barks, you can notice this if you want. Your perception is high enough. As it lights up inside, now Min, go ahead and do a perception check.
essentially end for the recording. Essentially, as soon as the light begins to billow inside Roderick's room, Elmendred will place her eye back up to the keyhole, close her eyes. Well, she has to keep her eyes open. Focus on the inside of the room. Focus on the center point of the room. And she'll simply say a single word. Talaran Riad. And she will take a memory of the room.
Let me know what you get for your perception check.
Barkus has a 21 on perception for just general reasons. Maybe you could, no, you can't really aid another with perception.
I want to say you can, but I'm not certain.
How? That sounds awesome.
I did not hear anything from Jaron, so you'll probably just need to put it in the chat.
I did put it in the chat. It's a 24 without Sift, but she's actually using Sift, so it'll be a 19. Don't know if you
got
can
a
hear
24
me.
On perception.
Without Sift, but I'm using Sift, which takes a -5 on perception. That means I can see and touch everything inside the room. As long as I can see a point that is within 10 feet of that portion. And it's a 10-foot radius, so 20-foot diameter.
Okay, so you can see from the position of the dancing lights, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and go with that, because I didn't understand most of what you said, and I am terribly sorry for that. Blame it all on Maria. It's her fault, and hopefully we'll have power back in January. As you gain a vision of the room, you can see it's just a small room. It's not... it's really very sparse. It's just a simple cot. That he's sleeping on, straw-stuffed mattress. You can see over in the corner, there seems to be a writing desk, although it seems to be empty. You don't see anything on it, no sign that he was up writing or anything. His boots are kicked off on the floor by the bed. His patrol captain's jacket is slung over a chair, and he seems to have just kind of crashed on the bed. However, as you look at him, you can tell instantly that something is wrong. As he lays on the bed with both hands raised up above his head, almost in a reclining position, you can tell that the pillow is soaked with blood. And as you look at his wrists, you can tell that they have both been slit. And there is a hope knife laying on the floor, presumably where it was dropped, right by the edge of the bed. And it is bloody.
How in the world? Okay. Alright.
Elmendred relays this to Barkus, but says, I suggest that... Barkus, can you get this door open?
Yep, Barkus opening that door. Strength check. Disable device, whatever. He's getting through that door. What do I roll?
Yeah, that's a strength check to knock down the door.
I'm sorry, I missed that. What does Amandreda do?
I'm going to put it in the chat.
Hello?
She tells Barkus to knock down the door because she sees that he is dead.
22 on a strength check to open the door.
Okay, so you want to knock down the door?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead and do a strength check.
22 total.
Okay, with that, you are, Barks, you just kind of take a step back, and with a solid kick to the center of the door, you burst the latch, and the door swings open loud. Bang! And there, the room is lit. There's apparently a burning humanoid image in the room of magical dancing lights, and there is Roderick Grath, bleeding out, or already bled out. There's a lot of blood on the pillow, on the bedding, and what do you do?
He will...
Elmendred, as soon as she's inside, will cast Cure Wounds on him as quickly as possible. My goal is to save his life. If possible.
I missed that. Do you tell anyone, or are you still in the room?
I am in the room, and I attempt to heal him with Cure Light Wounds.
I can't understand that. I'm sorry.
I will put it in the chat.
Are you trying to heal Roderick?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead and do a... as you reach down to heal him, go ahead and do the spell.
Okay.
So let me know how many hit points you heal.
5 hit points.
Okay, as the magic, you take your hands and you place your hands over him. Some of his blood starting to stain your own hands and fingers. But as the magic is released, you realize that the healing life magic that you are using requires that there be some life left in the target in order for it to do any good. And unfortunately, there is no life left in Roderick Grath.
Bark will scan the room. Perception? Investigation?
Elmendred will too.
Okay. Let's see. Let's go ahead.
I believe investigation is a 5e thing, so there's only perception.
We're going to go ahead and put an end to it here.
Okay.
When we come back, you guys will be right here, and you'll be able to pick up and pray that I can hear you guys, because I really want to be able to. And it's going to be really hard to do this story if we have such a hard time communicating.
Yeah.
Would a cell phone work? A group call?
Doing like a group phone call might work, except that right now we actually using voice phone calls doesn't always work where we're at. We get data, but the voice phone calls is in and out. Like today I couldn't get it to call anybody for anything. So.
What do you mean in and out? Do you mean out?
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried to call both my parents. I tried to call my brother. Tried to call several people, and I couldn't get a dial tone for anybody.
Well, have you been able to call anyone ever since the hurricane?
Here's a question. Night yes. Glider, can you understand them well?
I think I might be picking it up a little bit clearer than
this
you.
This is a test of the broadcasting system. I will recite the alphabet for you. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and the letter Z. This program has also been brought to you by the number 5.
I mean, you guys sound really choppy, and sometimes I can't understand you, but a few times I could understand you, it seems better than Abe could. I don't know why. Are you hotspotting with your phone, Abe?
That alphabet trick might not be a bad idea, though. If we can kind of figure out a pattern to the cutting out, maybe?
Yeah, good luck talking in sync to keeping it in pattern.
Well, I mean, just, you know, A, B, C, D. Have them write down, you know, which letters they hear and which ones they don't.
Well, let's try this. Abe, do you want to try sharing with Bethany?
We're going to try something.
Experiment time.
Put that phone on speaker.
Can you hear the master calling you today?
Hello?
Yes? Oh.
I heard the master calling.
He's back now.
91 is the master? I didn't know you were a Time Lord.
Nope. I'm neither.
Oh, see, now that's what the master would say.
Yeah, that's true. I have been known to eat an entire chicken in a few seconds.
That is very impressive. An entire
that
chicken.
Is actually.
Maybe more like a fish. But yeah, a few seconds probably. I'm pretty good at eating fish.
So less than 61 seconds?
Yes.
That is very, very impressive. I might be able to eat, like, a goldfish, like one of the crackers, in that amount of time.
Well, but, like, I mean, yeah, we used to go fish all the time. We'd catch brim and stuff, and once you fried them, you just got to know what you're doing. And I'm not going to say, I'm not like, you know, Tom and Jerry, where I can just put it in my mouth, pull it out again, and it's nothing but bones. But I can handle a fish pretty quick. It's good.
Just bite it. Left side, right side. Okay, next one.
Very, very catting. Hey, listen, Celtic, listen.
So, I don't know if anyone else kind of has a feeling of where this is going, but...
Suddenly it was a murder mystery.
Yep, I have a feeling Min will probably be framed for murder as the blood is currently on my hands.
Well, it's either going to be that you're framed for murder, or they're going to frame the girl who just got the hope knife for murder.
Yeah.
Unless...
Anyone see my question earlier? I was thinking this week about things. The girl's the daughter of the leader of the Black Blade, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Roderick is the son of the Captain of the Guard, more or less.
Yes.
Seems that way.
And they're not on the best terms.
I don't know if they mentioned that.
Is that a thing?
Roderick was making comments that made it sound like he wasn't the biggest fan of the Black Blades.
Ooh, if that's true, then that gives more reason why the girl would have done it.
So we have these recordings for a reason. We can go back and check that section again.
Yeah, I think that'll be a good idea. Though, just as a heads up, before anyone starts worrying, one of the very first things Elmandrita is going to do is use prestidigitation to clean the blood off her hands.
An exceedingly marvelously good idea.
Yeah.
Does it actually clean it, or is it handwritten and disappeared?
Isn't prestidigitation basically like a do-all as long as it's a small thing? Like, it doesn't really matter.
It specifically says it can clean a certain set of area.
Oh, now, I didn't know that.
Yeah, now the problem is it'll only stay clean for a certain amount of time. I want to say it's like 3 hours, but then it will come back.
Actually, I believe whether it soils or cleans, those are the two things that are actually permanent. Everything else changes back.
Okay, I am using Bethany's phone.
Okay.
Because I don't know why, but for some reason it's picking up better than my phone is.
Okay.
Testing.
So, can we be heard?
Real quick, essentially, when you came into the room, you find the body, and he's dead. You tried to heal him, the healing doesn't work. And then you guys are going to want to search the room?
Yes.
Yes.
Let me ask you, do you call for any help?
Not yet.
Well, Elma and Drita might, because they probably heard us breaking into the room. She's actually going to search the room very quickly, using Sift, and just take a memory of the room. And then she will use prestidigitation to clean her hands before heading back downstairs.
How much of that did you get?
Okay, so you're using Sift to do what with the room?
Search the room.
Okay.
Essentially, I can see if I'm with it, if I can see a point within 10 feet of it. I can see the entire room. I can also touch and feel everything in the entire room. And it occurs in 6 seconds. Essentially recreating that area in my mind.
Okay, so go ahead and do a perception check with that in mind.
Marcus is just using his tracking abilities to see if he can spot anything that would indicate who was in here or where they might have gone.
Okay, perception.
Which role is that? Survival or track or something?
Okay, with the 21 for Min, as you search the room, switch hands here so that I can take a look at my notes. All right, so as you search his room, you do notice behind the bed there seems to be a piece of paper up by the headboard, slipped down between the mattress and the wall. There's a piece of paper in there. Although you can't pull it out to see what it is, but you know that there's a piece of paper there. But that's all that you find here. And what was Barkus looking for?
Signs of who else might have been in the room beforehand. Footprints, anything disturbed. Open window, something like that.
Okay, do a perception check.
30.
Okay, you look over the room with a keen eye, your low light vision peeking into every crack. You do not, however, see any sign that anyone else is in the room. The window is closed. Of course, you found the door closed. And there's no space where someone could have hidden. There's not a walk-in closet or anything like that. It's just a simple one-room sort of a place. There's no sign that there is anyone else here.
Min doesn't know detect magic, does she?
I do not, unfortunately. But she will let Barkus know that there is a note behind the bed.
Oh, great. Well, let's read the note.
Yes. Though she will say, read the note, let me know what it says, I'm going for help. And she will use prestidigitation to clean her hands and the front of her robes as she heads back downstairs.
Okay, so do you read the note?
Yes.
Okay, as you look at the note, it is actually a receipt. It is a receipt for a hope knife. It says, it is a receipt for the purchase of a custom hope knife for Roderick Graff, order 1, and it was to be engraved, and the engraving specifically was to say, engraving should read, for Roderick, my love. And then,
ooh.
Yes, so that's it.
Okay, Bark will put the note into his inventory, and if there's nothing else to be seen here, he will follow Min. He'll head downstairs. Try not to. He's not too like shaken right now. He's going to be processing what happens next. Is he going to find Min downstairs?
All right. So you head down following Min as she has already stepped away. Where did you put the note?
Inventory. Just on my person.
I'm sorry. I am not hearing it.
Inventory. Just on my person.
Okay, so you put it in your pocket or something?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So you put it away where you'll know where it's at. So you have... you have a receipt of purchase from Morninghawk's Fine Steel. And as the two of you head down, it's just in time for Ruka and Alex and the rest of them to be heading in. Some of them to be going over and getting a pint of ginger beer or whatever else they might want to drink. For Ruka and Alex, it is time for round 2 as they prepare to play on for the night. But you guys will be coming down, leaving the rooms, just as your party is coming in. And when we pick up next week, hopefully with better internet connectivity, we will pick up at this moment. All right?
Okay.
Okay.
Sigh.
All right, sorry guys. It's really crazy here. So just keep praying for the recovery.
Yeah, stay lovey.
Indeed.
Alright, I'm going to go ahead and sign off because I can't really hear you guys anyway. Have a great night, and if anybody's around Friday and if I can hear you, then I will hang out with you at least.
Peace!
All right.
Later.
Thanks, Quicksilver. Good night.
Thank you. Okay, so...
Pause! Things... Before we do anything else, how much of this are we allowed to like discuss and think through out of character?
Oh, as much as you want. Now, the number one rule is what your character didn't learn inside the game, he doesn't know.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
No metagaming.
But however, if you want us to become the voices in your head while processing all of this so that your character starts thinking, hey, I've come up with ideas, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yes. But you can't be like, huh, I wonder what happened with this person when in a room that I wasn't there. Yeah.
Yes. See, I can't go up to you and ask, Bark, do you happen to have a receipt in your pocket that has something about a knife, about a dead body that's in the room upstairs? No, that'd be cheating.
Yes.
Okay. So, logically, apparently, we're being led here to believe Roderick has a lover, ostensibly. Someone who has gifted him with a hope knife, which I imagine he should have already had one, but this new one would have special significance, of course.
And no one thought to look at the knife. It was just mentioned that he had one.
Well, this is a crime scene. They're taking a big risk, taking the receipt as it is.
That's what I was thinking.
And I'm actually going to talk with Quicksilver about, because Sift, essentially, I can take a memory of the place, recreate it in my mind, and then see everything in that location. Touch it, feel how warm it is, see if it's ridged, without actually disturbing the crime scene.
That's really cool.
So I just can't see people, though. If Roderick is dead, I guess he would also reappear in the crime scene.
That makes sense.
So I'll ask him about it sometime between this session and the next one.
Yeah, okay. We do have to figure out if there is bad blood between the Black Blades. Wow, that was hard to say. And the patrol, then that's definitely going to be important. But I don't personally remember that. But I know Steel, you just finished listening to the recording, so I trust your call on that one.
It's a theory. I'm not saying anything for sure certain.
No, that's fine. First thing Bark will do is probably once he who's Randy should be free. Because Alex and Ruka are the ones doing the performing right now. So we got to plug everyone else into the loop.
If Ruka hears this, she ain't performing the rest of the night.
No, neither is Alex. Alex is going to storm into the room and shoot people away and figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
Right. He'll know that about them, I think, and keep it under his hat for the moment. Randy might be the one he tells, but... seems like Min and Bark should be the only ones at this moment. I don't think we know our benefactor well enough to necessarily have to loop him in yet. If we're going to have to play Scooby-Doo, I think it might be wiser to keep it as close to the vest as possible.
Min probably will still tell the building owner, because she does have a dead body inside her hotel. And yes. Min would much rather let them know immediately, as opposed to being like, oh yeah, we found out about it 3 hours ago, but we didn't decide to tell you so we could hide evidence. I mean, just because we wanted to not tell you.
Right. If there's one thing I've learned from Bones, it's when there's dead peoples, you tell the proper authorities. You don't try to cover it up or hide it or figure it out on your own, because then it all is going to end up coming back to you, whether you meant for it to or not. So
exactly. Unless you're the one who killed the body, but you know.
Yeah, Elmendrade is going to try and make abundantly clear that she was not the person who killed this person. Right. Especially if they found the note that was said to Roderick with love, and the person thought Elmendrade was going up there.
So
I was like, I could see this link going very poorly very quickly. I'm just worried about them searching Eubarkus, finding the note, and then the building owner coming up and is like, yeah, she went up to go see him, and then 5 minutes later, he was slain with the knife of his other lover.
Yeah,
we've got to figure out a way to establish the time of death.
Yeah,
that's going to be tricky because I don't think any of our any of our characters are designed for being medical examiners.
No, we did. Most of the people downstairs would have seen him when he went up the stairs to his rooms, at least. So that gives us a narrower frame of reference. But, hey, that is a good question. Would a medical examination be a heel check?
I honestly don't know.
And does Min have that?
Interesting.
I do not have knowledge in nature.
Barkus actually has a pretty... he has a plus 7 to heel. His skill bonus in that one is a 7.
Awesome.
Yeah, cool, I want to say that a heel check... A heal check is more for knowing how to keep somebody alive or to stop bleeding or with the right equipment to restore hit points. It might give you enough knowledge. I think a knowledge check or a profession check, though, would probably do better.
Some of that would overlap a bit, I think, though, knowing how to keep somebody alive versus how long they've been dead.
And how just how the body works and knowing about... when systems may have shut down and how long.
Oh,
that makes sense.
Yeah, it would help.
So it's going to be hard to pin it down to the minute because essentially he went up half an hour before we went up.
That's right.
And we don't know how long since he went up, he actually decided to kill himself. The blood hasn't been
killed yet. There's no technology in Pathfinder for determining the temperature of the liver.
Exactly.
That's true.
But was it really that long? He went in, and then y'all went in, like, immediately afterwards, asked a couple questions, did a couple psyche checks, and...
We sat and had some drinks, so...
Yeah, I would say maybe 20 minutes at most, and that's hard to determine.
Yeah, 10 or 20 minutes, so... We have a like a half hour or so, it seems like, window of he was alive when we saw him go upstairs. He was dead when we broke the door down and checked on him. That's not going to help too much, but his brother, did we say his father is the one who is definitely in charge of the patrol? His brother is another member of the patrol who we have to report this to. The owner.
Authorities, yeah.
And the dad, I assume, the leader of the patrol.
Yeah.
But is that taking too much into the hands of outsiders?
Come again?
Informing the family? Isn't that a little much for outsiders?
Well,
be true.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, we might let the building owner.
That might be a problem. Yeah, that's true.
Let the building owner know and let her take it wherever. Which may include getting Min and Barkus locked up.
Yeah, if it comes down to it, if it's between Min and Barkus or just Min will say, I will wait until justice is done. And she will allow herself to be taken.
Well, let's have this conversation then. Who do you think is going to be, it would be more important for them to be free to use their skills to investigate? Barkus is a tracker by profession, but it seems like Min's psychic abilities are going to be more useful for everything from info gathering, especially diplomacy. He is definitely not a diplomatic person, so investigating, asking people for things will be a definite problem.
I'm also good at reading minds. That's like the main thing I do.
Right.
Yeah, so if
they need someone to lock up, I feel like Bark might be the better choice. If they feel like they have someone locked up and they're not going to be watching too closely everyone else. But so if it comes down to, you know, one or both, I think Bark should be the one who would go that way. I think now that we're thinking through this right here.
And honestly, that's up to you.
Right.
The reason I chose myself is because I am willing to sit out for playing, because I play in a lot of games.
Gotcha.
And I know that you don't get the chance to as often. So I'm like, I would allow you to enjoy the continuation of the game while I would sit out.
That's handy.
If it came down to it.
I'll certainly still be around to listen, but like I said, I don't know that Bark's going to be a huge help with... Now, like, I mean, for example, if it's investigating a route, like his perception is extremely high. That's nice. Checking out the church and stuff, that was exactly what he is made for. But in terms of fact-finding with people, it's not going to be his forte. Yeah. So exactly how we handle that is going to be probably a little more in the moment, I guess.
Yeah. And your perception is quite obviously much higher than mine.
Yeah, something about a 31 without a crit.
Exactly.
Yeah. Although I will say, I don't know what it is about this game, but every time I roll perception, I've been getting in the teens at least. I don't think I've had a single digit perception roll. Yeah, I might have had like one. It's been pretty cool, but very, very random. And I promise it's not been me. I don't have a weighted dice or anything. It's just been really, really cool.
I think I've made two rolls so far. I've had an 18 and a 19 natural.
Yeah, my last two perception checks were 17 and 18 natural.
So high rollers right now.
So technically my last one with Sift should have been two higher because I have heightened awareness currently up, which gives me a +2 to perception.
Sweet. So let's see. I keep thinking here. We have a couple of disparate themes running through this one. If it's going to be a mystery, we might as well get as many of the facts together as possible.
Exactly.
The graffiti, the way that Abe described it. It sounds more like a, almost like a, not like a magical ward, but like a response. It's people tagging and saying, you know, we don't want that evil around here. Implication-wise, I'm not sure. It doesn't seem to have a whole lot to it. It's popped up all over town, but...
A lot of people have also mentioned that it's more of the kids who are doing it. So I'm wondering if it's more like a club or a cult of some sort.
That's possible.
Were they taking the...
There's a little bit of info given about it through the mind reading trick Min did last week.
Which I'm going to have to go back and get my notes from my other sheet, as I did not have my notebook with me at the time.
Yeah. What did Min find out? Steel, I forget.
It had to do with the town's founding, if I recall.
Right.
A paladin that killed a giant?
That's right. Something like that.
Yeah, something about that.
Because Corthalia...
A white sword was his symbol.
Right, the chosen people, the religious, high-minded folk. That's right. So, okay. So it's almost like a... Not a nationalistic thing, but like a local rallying cry, maybe?
A local hero, possibly.
And maybe again a counter to the Black Blades? Possibly?
Also possible. The orc pin that Bark found, the nail head that's a skull, still no real context for that, besides that we found it in the empty former home of the priests of Lueneth around here. With nothing else really around, and it, I don't remember it being like dust covered. Like, it didn't seem to have been there for very long. So, you know, for better or worse, someone has been in the town practicing something fairly sinister. I mean, clearly, I mean, there's a dead guy upstairs. Yeah. Assuming he didn't kill himself, which I'm still assuming, because why? Like, why?
Yeah, because he did seem pretty happy and happy-go-lucky just a few hours before when he was playing with Ruby.
Read his poetry. We need to look up his art stuff and see if that's any kind of indication of, I don't know, mental health, or maybe he's got some clues in there. That should be like one of the next things we find out, is see if anybody has any of his poetry. Whether he's dead or not, we need to hear about that soon.
It's going to be hard to do once his family gets involved, as he'll probably want to collect his things, which is understandable. They don't want random strangers, random troop carnival goers, workers to be rooting through their...
Thank you.
Yes. Rooting through their dead son's belongings.
Right. Well,
some
if it's been published...
Published.
Yes.
Yeah, so it should be out there somewhere. Not necessarily like the entire body of his work, but what he's famous for, we should be able to find out pretty easily, maybe even just by asking people in the town, because I imagine that'd be the kind of thing they were kind of proud of. Maybe.
Yes.
So,
what's his name?
Randy
might need to start putting the moves on the hotel owner, see if he can't find something out.
Yeah. What were you saying, Steele?
So, you can do mind-affecting things, or Min can. Can she tell if... Is there any way to tell if a person has been mind-affected?
No.
Because that's another possibility. He may have killed himself, but he might have been under the influence of something.
It would have had to have been a dominate, which is a really high level.
Possible. Go ahead.
Suggestion fails if you are told to harm yourself, and charm person makes that person seem friendly to you. You wouldn't, just because this guy is your friend, you wouldn't kill yourself. Dominate,
even
you can kill
dominate,
yourself.
Well, even dominate person, it can be done, but it requires like a ridiculous check in order to make it happen.
Well, how about possession? like we saw in one of these recent campaigns.
Ooh, this is
now
true.
That's different.
Magic jar could work in that way, though if he killed himself, he would have to get out of the body before it died. Otherwise, he would just be slaying himself. Well, actually, no, that is not true. He would have to be within the area in order to be thrown back into his body.
Or that weird thing we ran into where he could jump from body to body to body.
Magic jar. As long as he's within range of the crystal.
Yeah.
And then once he's done, he has to return back to his own body. Otherwise, just his soul is trapped in that crystal.
So that's a magical effect, right?
It is, but it is relatively high level. I believe it's either fourth or fifth level spells.
Is it detectable?
Once it's done, no.
So no lingering aura to check for?
Possibly, but you would need to have a detect magic, which I am very sorry I did not take.
It does have.
Excellent.
I've just got to get past her initial, mind-shattering shock of what just happened. She's already in the best state of mind from just hearing about the hope knives that the city does.
Yeah. You would have to do it very quickly, because it only lingers for 1d6 minutes. And I think by this time it might have already worn out.
Yeah, so... that overrides the detect magic rolls of it lasts... Didn't I say, like, ours lasted...
That is the detect magic rules. Level 4... Yeah, 4 through 6 level... The would be considered moderate, and a moderate aura would linger for 1d6 minutes.
In which case, yes, it most likely would be gone.
Yeah. Interesting. Because we didn't see... What I'm wondering is if someone got into the room, slit his throat, and then teleported out.
Altogether possible.
Yeah. In which case, it would be very hard to track them.
Could someone teleport in from the outside?
If they can see inside his window, which honestly was my initial plan. Slit his wrists. My initial plan was to find out which room he was in, stand outside, cast dancing lights just outside his window, and then use Sift to search his room. See if he had anything that he had written down, any books that he was currently working on. Because technically, with the perception check, I would have been able to read items inside the room.
Ha!
I designed my character for utility, not for combat.
And you're like the first one up for greatest usefulness.
Well, I appreciate that.
So the third thing is the whole Hope Knife state of the village. I don't know if that's meant to be something the party can affect or not, but it's going to be something Ruka would be interested in attempting to sway.
Yeah, Almandrita will also assist you in that. She would...
Oh, Alex, too.
...very much consider those cowardly knives instead of hope knives. The knives offer no hope. They only offer an easy way out of a situation that you could still win. You guarantee that your enemies succeed instead of giving them a battle.
And it's the complete loss of all hope.
Exactly.
What hope has any people if they all kill themselves?
agreed.
Was anything mentioned about recent raids? Do the orcs still do those raids?
They said the orcs have been gone for a while. No one's seen the orcs for a while. Though with the nail in the orc head, I'm wondering if that is still true. I'm wondering, my next thought is perhaps he saw or heard rumor that the orcs were returning, and he, because it's a ritual of the entire clan, gave in to despair and decided, if the orcs are coming, I'm not even going to resist.
Yeesh. Perhaps another thought was slitting wrists one of the demonstrated ways to use the Hope Knife.
Yes, so that's why I was wondering if he hadn't done it himself.
Because if I recall, what Quicksilver didn't describe that. He just said that it was demonstrated to Ruby.
Yes.
So that might be a point of comparison to make. To ask about later to see, wait, no, this wasn't one of the ways they were taught to do, so something's different.
Exactly. Or if it might have been someone from the town who knew how to make it look like a suicide, because all the people in the town are taught how to commit suicide the same way. It would be very easy to make it look like a suicide instead of a murder, especially if you knew exactly how a person would have committed suicide because he was trained that way.
There's a lot to chew on here.
Yes, yes there is.
I'm trying to... We do have the recording to go over, so I guess writing it all down. All the same.
And I'm still recording. Last week, the post-game stuff also got tossed into the recording, so that'll probably happen this week, too.
Okay. And we are having good discussions this time. Just, yeah, as you said, a lot to think about.
Yeah, that sounds fine, then. I'm going to go ahead and sign off. We've got a couple things to do here around the house, so...
Yeah,
we'll
that's
see
understandable.
You all next
time. Have a good night.
Peace.
I might go to stick my nose in a game or something.
Yeah,
I'm going to go eat dinner.
Enjoy.
Yeah, you're 2 hours behind.
Yeah.
At least I'm assuming you're back over there now.
What's that?
You're back in California, right?
Yeah, for the time being. Hopefully only until January. That will depend on about 4 or 5 different factors, but we'll see.
Including power on the island?
Yes, that might be a big one.
And flights going to the island?
Well, fortunately, flights have begun back to the island. I believe there are now commercial flights running to and from St. Croix. They're not cheap, but they're there. Yeah, so, all right. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Later.
Sleep well.
So, yep, I'm out. See you. I guess I probably won't be on Friday, so next week.
Yeah, and if no one else is on Friday, I might get a few other things done in preparations for the end of the week.
Cool. Later.
Sleep well, one and all.